He's leading into the closer, which is our last Sunday of the year. We'll be at Christiana Middle School. I asked on Facebook and social media and through requests, what were the top three sermons that the people liked throughout the year? And the top one was, how's that working for you? So I'm going to do a remix of that. As a matter of fact, I got a shameless plug. I wrote this book. I'm serious. Yeah. I want to sell them again after service. I wrote this book for people like me who don't like to read, but you like to learn. I don't necessarily the fastest reader. I see people who breeze through books in a night. It takes me a week, a couple days to read through a book. But I wrote this book, How I Preach. It's in stories. It's in parable form, and it explains it. Is anybody here who would like to get into reading and just say, I'm not all the way there yet, but I'd like to get into it. I want something to inspire that. Anybody here like that say, I'd like to get into it? Here, I want to give you this. And for anybody else who wants one, they're $10 after service. Get as many as you want. All right? So today I'm going to talk about how's that working for you. But I want to talk about that in terms of this season. I think what many people need, hope. Hope. Somebody say hope. Say we need it. Say the world needs it. Hope is the basis for our dreams, our desires, our goals in life. We all need hope. Somebody said again, hope. From not even a biblical point of view, from just a humanistic and just researching, just the power of just you being human, hope is important. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Jerome Goodman. He's a medical doctor. And he wrote this, I think it was a book called The Anatomy of Hope. And he did research on hope. And he said this, your belief and your expectations are the key elements of hope. And they can block pain by releasing certain brain endorphins, mimicking morphine, just by having hope. He said in some cases, hope can also have an important impacts on your physiological processes like respiration, circulation, and motor function. Just hope causes you to breathe better, causes you to move faster and move, have more mobility. It releases certain things inside of you to help you to deal with pain. Somebody say hope. He said also during the course of illness, he did research. He said belief and expectation, two mental states associated with hope, have an impact on your nervous system, which in turn sets off a chain reaction that makes improvement and recovery more likely. Just by having hope. That's not even putting Bible on it. But imagine if from a humanistic point of view, you have hope, that if you put the word on it. That if you have a biblical hope based on a reason to believe in the Bible, how much your world seems different when you have hope. You walk in the streets now, you're looking at people who give up and do heinous crimes and all these things because they lost hope. Why'd you do that? I just gave up. I just threw in the towel. I didn't see a reason to keep going on. I want to let you know this. There is a reason to have hope. But can we look at hope for a minute this moment? This morning, I'm going to look at some how that working for you moments when it comes to hope, because all hope is not true hope. When I'm dreaming and I have a desire about something, it's not in my reality. My hope is what I want. And some of us have outy hope. I'm not trying to be materialistic, but you that's the type of hope you have. In your mind, that's what you see. In your dreams, and you research on it. You see this elaborate life. But what you want and what you have is two different things. I was walking downtown Nashville. You guys seen this picture before. And I stopped. I don't know why I noticed just trivial stuff. I looked on the front of this car, and I said, is that what I think it is? If you look at it, that's an Audi plate. Nothing wrong with Nissan, but on a Nissan car. But in reality, when it comes to hope, most of us want what's on this side. But we have what's on the left side. And because it ain't producing, we just put a sign on it and call it faith. And we want the respect that comes from this side. We wonder why people are not interacting with us, because that's what you see in your head. That's what you know God's going to do. But people don't see that. They see this. And the frustration comes because you know that is in you, but this is what you have. And then in a moment, you got to stop and ask yourself, how's that working for you? Look at your neighbor and say, how's that working for you? You got outy hope, but counterfeit. Reality. You all right in here? Here's my main idea today. Today we're going to challenge hope, because there are two types of hope. Hope that will work and hope that won't work. Is that simple? It takes faith to produce hope. Let me start you out with a scripture. Hebrews chapter 11 and 1 says this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That word substance is a Greek word that means substratum. It means it's the infrastructure. It is the blueprints. It is the architectural plans for what you want. If you build something before you ever see it, they give you a blueprint. Your faith is the blueprint of what you're dreaming for. And hope without faith is nothing but a dead dream. All right in here? So faith is this. It's action based on a plan. It's not faith until you have a plan on how you're going to get it done. So faith is the blueprint for your hope. And you got to ask yourself, what am I set up to produce? But here's the challenge. If you have hope that's not valid, you can work your faith all day long, but it's not going to produce anything. In order for your faith to really produce something, your hope has to be valid. It has to be something that can actually be and something that God wants to see happen in the world. Somebody say hope, hope. Needs faith. But say hope, hope needs to be valid. Let's talk for a few moments about hope that does not work. Some of our hope is like a machine with an out of order sign on it. Just not working. Anybody ever been there before? Let's talk about a kind of hope that does not work. Somebody say borrowed hope. Sometimes people see things in us that we don't see in ourselves. And you can borrow that hope. And you can do this and you can do that. And that hope is good because you can borrow somebody else's faith. Somebody, you're here today because somebody prayed for you. But in order to have lasting longevity, you got to have the confidence to produce that. My mama said and my daddy said, only going to take you so far. My mom said, I'm the smartest little boy in this class. But you're going to get hired. And they're not looking for the smartest little boy that your mama had. They're looking for somebody to produce. Yeah. Many of us are living off borrowed hope, and we're wondering why we keep having to pull on people to get energized, to get boosted, because you don't have hope on the inside of you. Borrowed hope only lasts so long. At a certain point, you got to develop your own hope that I see it for myself. Somebody say borrowed hope. Borrowed. Not only is there borrowed hope, but there's false hope. False hope says, for this to 10 people, and you're going to be blessed. Some of you have been forwarding for days, just calluses on your fingers, just sending a little stuff out. False hope is hope that has no authority to produce because it comes from a false source. And I'm telling you, I just don't believe that. You're going to send something out and money's going to show up. People say this I hear people say this all the time. Lord, bless me to be a millionaire. My question is, what do you do that would warrant $1 million? I know you got the desire, but where's the plan? False hope is hope that's not based on a plan. That plan is not realistic. It has no authority. It's called, somebody say, false hope. All right, let me give you another hope. It's unrealistic hope. Dream house hope. But strength to change the remote control, and that's it only. $1 million dream and $2 work ethic. You all right? It's placing a demand on something that doesn't have the ability to produce what it is that you want. It's placing a demand on something without giving the proper time and the tools to produce what's needed. Some stuff is unrealistic hope, and you got to see, what does this thing have the ability to produce? I want to show you how to come out of false hope, how to come out of borrowed hope, how to come out of unrealistic hope to produce hope for yourself that's going to produce what God wants to see in your life. Somebody say biblical hope. Biblical. Somebody say it again, biblical hope. The first thing you need is rebuilding hope. Many of us in this room, our faith needs to rebuild our hope because life has a way of punching you in the mouth. Life has a way of sucker punching you. Life has a way of taking your hope where you don't even have no hope no more. Anybody ever been through some things? You don't have to raise your hand where you thought God was going to do this. You thought this was going to work out, and out of nowhere something crazy happened. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be the loss of a job. It could be all kind of things that happen. But if you've ever been to a place where your ability to hope and even want something, to even have a desire. Some people have all these lofty dreams. You said, I can't even muster up enough to set one goal, one dream. I don't have the hope inside of me. Rebuilding hope is for you. Yes. How do you get rebuilding hope? Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Take your notes. You can screen a snapshot. The screen here, it says this. Paul says, not only this, but we exalt means we glory in tribulation. That means that Keith them start to play shouting music when you go through. When you're going, can you play me some sad music there, Keith? Nobody? I don't know. So just sad. Just make you want to cry. Just drab. You just sitting there just crying. Just sad. And I don't even know. Hood over your head just looking. Driving down the road. But can you change that? Josh, can you kick me? Y'all play me a little shout music, a little praise music for a moment. I don't know, you just pray that quick. That quick. Can I give y'all a clue? Some of you come from backgrounds that, you know, you feel like to shout and praise God, you got to wait for the Spirit to fall on you. No, you need a memory. He woke me up this morning. Clothed and in my right mind. You don't know the stuff he forgave me from. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. He was there when nobody else was there. He can pick you up, turn you around. All I got to do is think of the goodness of Jesus and my hands go up. I don't need a feeling. I just need a memory. But I want to think about the opposite of this. When you are rebuilding hope, Keith, go back to my slow music. That's what you feel like in the night I hear you talking. Coldest story ever told. Somewhere lost alone on a road. All these, Neo said, what? So sick of love songs and I'm so sad and blue. That's how you feel when you're rebuilding hope. Go back to my shouting music. You don't feel like this when you're rebuilding hope. They playing shouting music. You say, I wish they'd stop. I don't feel, don't hug me. Don't talk to me. Don't tell me to lift my hand. I don't want to touch my neighbor. I wish I was sitting on a row by my... I really didn't want to come to church this morning. Rebuilding hope has nothing to do with how you feel. It's pulling from a power that's real. Yes, sir. I did all that to point out my scripture. And it says, we also exalt in tribulations. Yes. So when tribulations come, we don't play, and there's nothing wrong with those songs, but we don't get sad like that. That's what our emotions say. We start to rejoice. Yes. Why? Because tribulations brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. Hope is not the initial reaction in your situation. Hope is produced from a mindset of I'm going to pull on power from God. Hope is saying, I'm going to go beyond how I feel, because if I followed how I feel, some of us have been following the road of how we feel, and it's a long road to depression that many of us will never find our way out of. You don't have strength anymore. You don't have dreams anymore. You don't have the drive anymore because it's trying to lead you down this road. Can I tell you something? Satan wants to use what you went through, and it ain't really about what you're going through anymore. He's trying to destroy you. He don't want you to live anymore. He wants you to die in the same place that you got hurt in the same place that you got disappointed in. He's not worried about that situation. He's trying to lead you to a road that you're useless. God said, I see your destiny. And let me show you how he does it. And hope does not disappoint. Thank God. The hardest part about dreaming after you have been let down is you don't want to be disappointed. I don't want to be let down again because I'm already let down now and I cannot stand any more rejection. I cannot stand any more disappointment. I cannot stand to go through. Am I talking to anybody in here? But he said, hope don't disappoint because the love of God has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Rebuilding hope comes from a pouring process of love. And God pours his love in you, not just through worship through him, but through people. I've lived that out. What does Satan want you to do? And what does the easiest thing to do when you're going through and you're trying to rebuild? You pull away from people. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to text. I don't want to have no these I have a dream speeches. Don't just be calling me with this inspirational stuff. It don't work. You all right? And that's really the time when God wants you to pull on people the most, because they're pouring into you something that you don't have, but it's not from them. It's from God. Now, do you remember the first, we have Isaiah, but the very first child we had, his name was Walter, and at 6 months pregnant, we went to a doctor and found out that the baby was deceased inside of Barbara, so we had to go through the whole process of her going through labor and all this stuff to birth a baby that we didn't take home. And when we left the hospital, we were going home, and Daddy said, let's stop at Cracker Barrel. You know how I remember that Cracker Barrel? Because they were having smothered pork chops. They don't have no more. Man, that gravy was good. Somebody know Cracker Barrel, tell them to bring them things back. Them smothered pork chops. And I'm saying, why are we going to Cracker Barrel? It's sad. And I felt guilty because we were in there laughing. We were in there having a good time. I'm like, we ain't supposed to be laughing right now. Just be crying. It's a sad moment. But can I tell you, that was one of the best things that ever happened? My hope was rebuilt in that moment through an interaction with people. Let me tell you how that further came into. Do you remember when Isaiah was about to be born and Barbara was fussing because the room wasn't done upstairs? We had a baby bed that wasn't put up. The stuff wasn't on the wall. And one Sunday after church, my daddy and my friend Herbert showed up and they said, we're going to put this bed together. Do you know why I was not in a rush? It wasn't because I'm lazy. It wasn't because I was a procrastinator. In my mind, subconsciously, I didn't want to be disappointed again. In my mind, I didn't want to go through the process of taking stuff down and moving stuff. Can I get real with you guys for a moment? Moving this stuff back out the house where we'd done it before. I didn't want to be disappointed. But in that moment of us putting that bed together, of putting a bed together, the Holy Spirit began ministering to me, pouring love and back into my heart, saying, this time, I want you to use that same bulldog faith that you have that don't give up. This time, I want you to pray over Barbara. This time, I want you to pray. He told me, he said, you're going to have a boy, and his name's going to be Isaiah. You call him Isaiah. And he said, Barbara's not going to go on bed rest, because the first time, Barbara's health was all over the place. I went from having no hope to rebuilding hope to praying over Barbara, praying over Isaiah who wasn't there, anointing that room, no energy, to having a dream for what's supposed to go in there. Let me tell you what was so crazy even about that moment. God said, Jason, you got more faith than you realized. First child, his name was Walter. They told us the whole, God told me before Barbara got pregnant, he said, you're going to have a boy first. They told us the whole time, that is a girl. I've been doing this for years. I know the difference between a boy and a girl on a sonogram. I told Barbara, it's a boy. Up to the time that she delivered, the doctor said it was a boy. The baby was not living when it was born, but guess what it was? And God said, I told you what it was. He said, you got to have faith in the middle of everything that I said, that what you're hoping for is going to come to pass. Which leads me to my second type of hope. Y'all don't date me, but y'all got to have can't stop, won't stop hope. Hope's like the Energizer Bunny that says, I won't quit, keep going. I cannot stop because there's something on the inside that's working on the outside. Somebody say hope. This hope comes from Abraham. The Bible says, who hope against hope. This is in the face of a strong no. Anybody ever been told no before? Door shut in your face and it's not going to happen. And in the face of somebody saying no and God still saying yes, you got to keep on moving. God said, you're not through. I'm not finished. Don't you throw in the towel. I'm going to save them. I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to work this thing out. You got to say can't stop, won't stop. Because this, for you in this room, and for even me, this is how you fight frustration. When you keep getting denied, and why is it happening for them? It's not happening for me. This is how you face weariness. When, God? You may not say it out loud, but inside, it's like you went from just the biggest praise in the world. Now you just got to lift your hand because you're just weary. Somebody say praise to Jesus. Now you just threw. Before, they're like, you through praying yet? Like you would just pray for days. Before you would fast, somebody say, I'm going through the Lord. The devil's messing with me. Oh, we're going to fast today. Now, you won't even, you maybe one bite of a Snicker bar, you just hold off at the end. That's all the fasting you do. You're just weary. And after you get weary, you don't tell anybody this, but when you have no's, you start to get jealous a little bit. Jealous not in the point of I want what you have, but I'm trying to figure out why you're getting what you want and I'm not getting what I want. You all right in here? Envy starts to set in when you get in this state, and even anger. Like you get angry when people, stuff starts happening with people and it's not happening for you. Romans chapter 4 and verse 18. Let me show you how Abraham overcame this. Let me get where I'm going. He said, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. You know the story of Abraham? He was promised children for a long time. At the age of 75, he was promised a child. He didn't have it until he was not. Sarah didn't get pregnant. He was 99. They didn't have a child until he was 100. 25-year waiting period on something that God promised. He said, he came the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Watch this, verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded what he promised he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him. It was given to him. Somebody say, because of righteousness. Here's how you do it when you're in the face of a no. Here's how you fight it if you're taking notes. Number one, build your faith. Yes. Faith is a muscle. Anybody work out in the room in here? Malcolm, you took me to work out there at Olympus Gym, and you said, we're going to do 3 sets of 10 with this. There's nothing elaborate about doing 3 sets of 10. Got a little hyped, a little excited, but it becomes monotonous. It becomes boring. 10, take a break. Another set of 10. Do you know why church can become boring to many of us? We just come and sing praise and worship for 20 minutes every week. Pastor's going to get up and say, if it's your first time with us, fill out that connection card, and we'll follow up with you this week. At the end, he's going to raise the offering. He's going to preach for about 25 minutes, and then we're going to get out of here. He's going to say, God bless you, and they're going to sign you up. It seems monotonous. So it's working out until you start seeing the results. And when you start seeing the results, you start putting on sometimes more weight and more workouts. Yes, so it becomes more than a song. You go deeper in the song. Yeah. Let us become more aware of your presence. What's in your presence? Healing's in your presence. Deliverance is in your presence. It's more than a melody, more than a song. God, all that's in the room. Yeah, and I can pull on it in this moment. That's called building your faith. It ain't nothing just elaborate about it. It's just keep on working it. And it's going to work for you. Then it says he was strong in faith. Let me put this to many of us in this room who feel weak right now. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to even question certain things. But I'm not questioning God's ability if he can. I'm just wondering if he will. Being strong in faith is not denying how you feel. If you are hurt, say it. I'm angry right now. Being in faith is not denying what's going on. Everybody see you sick. No, I ain't sick. Joy to the Lord of my strength by his stripe. You're sick. We see you. You got your nose is running. You're dragging. You're tired. I'm going through. Just be honest. I'm fine. I went through that, but you mad. Everybody tell you mad. It's on you. Be honest. I'm depressed right now. I don't feel like fooling with people right now. That's how you feel. Being in faith is not denying how you feel, but it's saying in the face of how I feel, I will bless the Lord at all times. In the face of how I feel, I'm going to get up and go to work, and I'm going to put my best makeup on. In the face of how I feel, I'm going to brush all my teeth. In the face of how I feel, I'm going to take a long bath and a shower, not just a quick run through. In the face of how I feel, I'm going to get my lashes and my brows done. In the face of how I feel, and I might get a massage. In the face of how I feel, putting on my best clothes. In the face of how I feel, my faith says this won't always be like this. Sooner or later, he's going to turn it in my favor. You can be angry and serve God. Just don't let your anger consume you. You all right in here? You don't have to like everything that God does, but being strong in faith is this. I give glory to God. I praise you. I don't understand it, but and I'm going to praise you because you're God. God, you created the earth, and if the stars got enough sense after all these years to still be in the sky, if they're going to obey you, I will too. If the moon still come up, if the sun is still there, I'm going to obey you too, because creation obeys you. So you must know what you're doing. You're right, even though I don't understand it. And he said he was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded has nothing to do with your emotions, but has everything to do with your direction. Many of us, Satan gets us because you go in the direction of how you feel. If you feel good today, you speak to everybody. If you don't speak, God bless you. Right there. It goes beyond how you feel, and they say, God, this is the direction you go in. I'm still going to hope. He don't mind your tears. He don't mind your frustration. But I'm going to still go in the direction of God, because I'm fully persuaded that, God, you don't lie. I don't understand everything, but I'm fully persuaded. And he says it was imputed to him, this is the last point, because of righteousness. When we pray, at the end of all of our prayers, because we are Christian, we are kingdom citizens, I don't say, Father, I thank you that it's done in the name of Jason. I don't say it's done in the name of Carrie. I don't say it's done in the name of LJ, Randall. I say in the name of Jesus. Because God's not responding to me based off what I've done. Because if he did it based off what I've done, there wouldn't much be getting done. He does it because I am in right standing, righteousness. And many of us are depressed because you think God is responding to you. Abraham said, not because of my age or the age of Sarah's womb. Then he said, because God said it, and there is no expiration date on the promise of God. I wanted a ham and cheese sandwich because I still got some smoked ham from Thanksgiving. And I put it on there with some cheese and some mayonnaise. And I went to get the bread. And the bread was green. It had a hole in it. Thank God the promises of God ain't like that bread that has got to be refreshed and updated. The promises of God are yea and amen. If God said it, you got his word on it. He imputes it to you because of righteousness. So because God can't stop, won't stop, I can't stop, won't stop. Is that all right? I'm through. It's the last one. Chosen hope. So biblical hope is this. You got hope against hope. Can't stop, won't stop. You got rebuilding hope. And then there's another hope called chosen hope. It's where you pick a promise because of your situation and stand on it. Then you come to school of thought, God is not like Burger King. You can't have it your way. I'd almost dare to argue with you. You can't have it your way, but you can't order what ain't on the menu. If it's on the menu, you can have it. If it's God said it in his word, I can have it. He's not a respecting person, because in principle, what he did for one, he got to do for all of us. You all right in here? I'm not trying to get God to manipulate him to my situation, because God cannot do anything that he's not already done. So I'm picking from the promises that God has already made for me. Why do I know that God's going to take care of me and my family? Because he said it in his word. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, and the seed will never beg bread. That's a promise I stand on. So when you are going through a different situation, because life hits different when you're going through something. When you are not going through anything, it's nothing against anybody, but it's kind of easy to go through and just float. Yes, God can heal. God can deliver. God can do all those things. But when you're in bondage, when you're sick, when you're going through, life is completely different. When your ends don't meet, and when all these things are going on in your life, church hits different. And in every situation, you got a decision. You can choose hope, or you're going to choose despair. I choose hope, because the alternative is not good. How do I choose hope? Do I get some little pom-poms and say, rah-rah, Jesus going to do it? Do I hire Keith them and say, can y'all bring the organ to my house? Y'all bring the bass and the drums, and we just going to shout all day, and God going to do it. Not necessarily. They probably would do it if you paid them enough. That's not the kind of hope that I'm talking about. The kind of hope that I'm talking about is in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It's a life stance. It says, this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we have asked of him. I wish sometimes I could go back. You ever talk to little kids and you ask them a question and they act like they didn't hear you? They just ignore you. Like, did you hear what I just said? And sometimes as people season and they get old in life, you're talking, they ain't heard a word you said. You can just ignore people and get away with it. God does not do that. The Bible says here, if he hears us, and because you're his child, if he hears you, he said, I'm going to grant the request because it's already on the menu. So in every situation, I choose hope by finding a promise from the word of God based off what he said in my situation. What did he say about my children? What did he say about my health? I know how I feel, and I choose hope. When you wake up in the morning, you have pain, and that anxiety jumps on you, you can choose to obey it. Or you can say, in the face of it, I still choose hope. Y'all help me out there. Somebody say hope. Y'all left me hanging there. How do I do this? I don't ignore my situation. I don't let it scare me. I address it by finding a word on it. What happens when I find a word on it? Proverbs 23:18 says this. Surely there's a future. I'm going to let that sit there for a moment. I'm going to contain myself right there. Anybody have those moments where you just read when you're by yourself at home? Y'all would be ashamed of me of how I act in this church when y'all ain't here. When a word hit me, I'll run from my office down the front row. When the word hits you, it ignites something inside of you. And just that word, surely. Somebody say surely.
Sure.
Somebody say it again.
Sure.
Oh, y'all stirring my face. Say it again.
Sure.
Somebody say it again.
Sure.
You didn't say maybe. You didn't even say I hope so. You done transitioned out of that hope stage into faith, and somebody say it again.
Sure.
Say it again.
Sure.
Say it again.
Sure.
Y'all feel faith rising, say it again.
Sure.
Y'all feel that faith, say it again.
Sure.
Say it as loud as you can. Somebody preach it, say it again, say it. Touch your neighbor and say, surely. Surely there's a future, and your hope will not be cut off. It's not going to be like a movie with a bad ending. It's not going to buffer in the middle of what's going on. I have an expectation. I have a desire. I have a petition from God. And surely I have a future, and my hope will not be cut off. Stand to your feet all over the building. Somebody say it again, surely. Somebody need to hear that this morning. Father, we choose hope. Every head bowed, every eye closed, you're in this place today and you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you've not chosen the hope that's beyond where we live to a place where the weary shall cease from their trouble, where there's healing, where there's peace, where there's joy, where there's a place better than any vacation. You've not chosen Jesus Christ as your Savior and asking him to forgive you of your sin. And you're in here today and you said, I'm not resting in him, or I've walked away from him and I need a relationship with him. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand up wherever you are at your seat. Say, I want a relationship with God. I want to be saved. I see you. Repeat that to me. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. This morning, I choose hope. I choose life. Everlasting. I ask you, forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I confess Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. This morning, I choose hope. I choose the hope of the world. I choose the living Savior who died on the cross for my sins. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You're in this place today, and if your faith needs to be rebuilt, you're in this place today and you need to choose hope. You're in this place today and you need that can't stop, won't stop hope to be developed inside of you. Lift your hands at your seat. Father, I pray it now. Hope, as we take your instructions and our faith is built, manifest it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go hug somebody, shake their hand, tell them hope in God.